With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Rich Campbell's brought to you by Ford, inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buyfordnow.com. Rich, how are you doing?
I think I can update that soundbite today. Ask Matt Nagy what impressed him about Leonard's sack.
Mm-hmm. There it is. He got
little
there.
Spin move against Rick Wagner of the Lions, who was beaten very badly by the Vikings last week and then again yesterday by Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd.
Now, Rich, I noticed the phone quality here is a little bit as though you're going through something. Are you tracking down a kicking caravan at this point? Are you hunting down whether or not the Bears are bringing in someone else to launch a ball from a tee?
Not quite. I am headed towards where that would happen, at least. We heard Matt Nagy yesterday saying no chance, and I'm not quite so sure the general manager stamps that yet. You could understand why they wouldn't, because they sunk a lot of money into Cody Parkey, $9 million guaranteed, and I understand the response that that's a sunk cost, and I understand that the response that that the next street free agent can't be worse than hitting the upright four times, but this goes directly to their ability to evaluate players, their attempt to stabilize this position, and you would have an admission of a misevaluation only 9 games into it and to do nothing to stabilize the position. I expect them to give Parkey a chance to work through this, but again, I think we talked about this last week, and that was if the Bears are down 2 Sunday night, 40-yard field goal, and they trot out Cody Parkey, there's no way anyone in the stadium is confident that he's making that kick. And until he proves otherwise, the Bears are really stuck between a rock and a hard place on this.
Yeah, that's what I've been told, the latest from people I trust, who say that they are certainly aware of available kickers and they won't tolerate another week of failure. That maybe he gets this week, but at some point they know they can't keep going with it if indeed he's just broken and needs some kind of reboot. No pun intended.
You just can't. The games are too meaningful. And with an inconsistent offense they played great yesterday. No question about it. The offense played well enough to overcome these misses. But if you take the whole body of work, the offense has been inconsistent to a point that you can't just waste 8 points a week. I mean, that's a full touchdown. You just can't. And as the stakes get higher, the games get tighter, more intense, they're going to play some better competition here. They need to be able to count on these points. I thought Jay Feely made an interesting point in Brad Biggs' 10 Thoughts column. Feely, you guys remember, was a late-season injury replacement, I believe, late in Robbie Gould's career here. And he talked about Gould's mental fit, mental sort of, how he's built up that callus mentally, the kicking at Soldier Field, which is one of the more difficult places to kick in the league. And for a new kicker, one from Florida who came, not only grew up there, but Parkey played for the Dolphins last season. It's a real thing to kick into the open end of the stadium, to kick where it's colder. And certainly this has to go into the player evaluation side for the football office, but it just hasn't worked to this point. There's no other way to spin that.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to catch the Cats at Ryan Field this fall. Northwestern hosts Illinois on November 24th for Senior Day. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
Rich, as fun as it was for me to watch Khalil Mack get back on that Bears defense, there was a measure of expectation about Mack going after Stafford. And I thought the guy that impressed me most in coming back to the Bears was Allen Robinson. He looked dangerous. He looked absolutely dangerous and like a number one. I wonder what guys around that locker room have told you about how the offense changes with Robinson in it.
Well, one of the things we heard yesterday is security blanket. And I'm not necessarily sure the entire body of work this season matches up to that, because Robinson has been part of the ebb and flow of targets that have gone around, whether it's Tariq Cohen or Taylor Gabriel or Trey Burton. And yesterday was Robinson day. What impresses me so much about him is his ability to win early in the down. Both of his touchdowns yesterday, he got separation within the first second of the play, whether it was the outside release on the first touchdown, that long throw to the outside, or the slant where he put that corner in a trail position that enabled him to run away from the tackle attempt. And that's the book on Robinson. When the Bears signed him, we heard about his big body, the catch radius, the competitiveness on 50-50 balls, but also the sharp route running. And we saw that yesterday. You would think that for a receiver with a groin problem, that ability to cut and move, that quick twitch movement, is going to be significantly diminished. And I think we saw yesterday that Robinson was healthy. He looked good separating. Of course, the Lions missed Darius Slay. That was a big deal when he was ruled out at the end of last week. But you see a player that Trubisky trusts, and he's got size and it's some route diversity too. Taylor Gabriel, on the other hand, a lot of deep targets yesterday, straight ahead type routes, but Robinson can do more going over the middle of the field on some intermediate stuff, as can Trey Burton. So it adds that diversity to that entire group and that entire attack.
How did Brian Witzman win the right guard job? Was he just better in practice? Does this have to do with the history with the coaches where they just trust him more? Or is there stuff that we haven't seen that you know about that they know about?
No, there's nothing, I think, under the rug or anything like that. I'd be interested to dig more into this with Nagy today. This wasn't a huge topic of conversation post-game yesterday because of some of the other more eye-catching storylines. But I do think this is important because the pass protection was so good yesterday, and the running game was not. You guys heard Matt Nagy in the post-game. His voice really turned when he was asked about the running game, just a sour taste. And the Bears are kind of stuck there. There's a realization, I think, that in a one-game scenario, which the Bears are approaching here, a make-or-break, do-or-die one-game scenario, that the running game could really be the offense's Achilles heel, especially if they get into a bad weather situation. So I understand why they're trying different combinations. I understand why maybe they would feel comfort with Witzman. There's also the neck stinger issue that Kush has been dealing with. Perhaps that is part of it. And I haven't rewatched the game closely enough yesterday to look at how Witzman did. But, for a street free agent to come in the middle of the season and take a starting role, I think it tells you about the level of depth that the Bears are going to have to address in the offseason. And they did well enough yesterday, certainly in pass pro, but the running game isn't good. And I think the blocking up front has a lot to do with that. It's just not as good as it has been in past years, even though they have some of the same players. There's a difference in scheme, and I think you still see them trying to figure it out.
Was Khalil Mack at 100%? I mean, is that what we've saw, his fully operational 52?
Yeah, I saw the same game you guys did, and I thought he looked way more explosive, at least, than he did in that Patriots game where he was really just invisible and kind of, I want to say jogging around the field, and to no knock on his effort, the guy was just hurt.
Oh, for sure.
And he was moving forward way more explosively yesterday. I mean, to see him run over the left tackle, Taylor Decker, even if Decker did have his feet stepped on by the guard, that was an explosive play. He was fighting through double teams a lot, and that was way more like the Khalil Mack we had seen in the first month. I just think it's really interesting that the Dolphins and Patriots with that quick game really showed a nice blueprint for how to neutralize him. But against some teams, it just doesn't fit what they do. This is going to be an interesting case study for the next few games and how teams are willing to get out of their comfort zone, who can adopt a quick game to make the Bears tackle. And then when we've seen the Bears defense give up points, it's because they're not tackling well and the defense isn't getting home. The way to do that is with the quick game, but some teams just don't do that well. And we'll have to keep an eye on that as we gauge matchups for the Bears. And if Mack is healthy, then his teams are dropping back. He's just getting after the quarterback. It's just nobody can block him when he's like this, apparently. I thought yesterday, it was a real step back for him. And you look at the entire defense, Mack just sort of fit in seamlessly to a defense that still is getting home around him, making plays on the ball in the secondary around him. And then when Mitch is dialed in, I mean, they can beat anyone.
Well, and that's why I asked, Rich. I know it'll be tough to find out, but if he's 50% for the Jets and Bills game and they decide to not let him go there, and this is 80% and that is good enough to go, you see the impact he makes. You mentioned the quick game. Once he gets to 100%, if he's not there already, what is he going to look like in coverage? How often then is Vic Fangio going to drop his linebackers back like they did against the Patriots? What are those counters going to look like when he is 100% if he's not at this point, which would be fair to assume given it's the high ankle sprain?
Sure, and maybe he won't be again for the rest of the season. I'd be interested to hear how he feels today. We will never find that answer out for sure. But after playing as much as he did yesterday, yeah, how he comes through the game will be really interesting. And maybe the good gauge will be the Thanksgiving game against Detroit, for the quick turnaround where a player like him really needs those extra 80 hours to feel better and be up to his standard. One thing Vic Fangio said last week is that as Mac continues to learn the defense, and let's all remember that he's only been here for 10 weeks. I mean, he's got a ways to go in terms of fully commanding the defense, that he'll be more confident in his drops. So you know Vic, in his mind, is planning to drop Khalil Mack and not rush him all the time as much as I think a lot of fans would like to see Mack rush. Vic likes to mix it up and be a little diverse. We've seen it with Leonard Floyd. We'll see it with Mack, and this will be sort of an ongoing familiarizing process by Fangio with Mack as they all get comfortable working with each other.
I'm increasingly frustrated with some habitual backwards thinking among Bears fans regarding Jordan Howard. And if I'm Matt Nagy, I'm maybe getting a little more frustrated and not showing it. Jordan Howard's on the team. He had two really productive years in a really unproductive offense. Meanwhile, for the first time, the Bears are finally scoring touchdowns. It's a record-setting passing year already for them. They are on pace to blow away records. Why the concern with whether or not Jordan Howard is having a Jordan Howard year? I guess I don't get it. I don't know why an individual fan is invested. Like, well, they got to give Jordan Howard and give the ball to him. And now you want ground and pound when all we've been asking for is for an explosive offense. It looks like other explosive offenses. Why can't people just be happy?
I am 100% with you on this. What else matters other than the point output and the yardage output on this offense? I don't get it either. The offense is finding ways to move the ball. They've got dynamic players. Jordan Howard is still contributing. He's still getting in the end zone. And I'm with you. Jordan Howard was a productive player on an unproductive team on a terrible offense.
Yes.
So now that the offense is good, there's this sort of loyalty there, or there's this sort of idyllic thinking that the way you control games is by running it down someone's throat. That doesn't sit with me. They're scoring. They're finding ways to move the ball. I agree they've got to be better in third and short, and they've got to be – it would help them to be more balanced overall in the run game because it obviously helps you contend with different matchups. It helps you keep a defense on its toes. It helps you take control of games in the second half. So I agree with all that, but I think it goes to a greater schematic and personnel issue rather than just this idea of feeding Jordan Howard and getting him going. I am entirely with you on this, Dan. I think you said it very well. You're just looking for nitpicks. If you're really bent out of shape about this, be happy with the way this offense has finally moved into the 21st century and scoring points.
Rich, defensively, I've been really impressed by how physical Callahan, Fuller, and Omukamara have been in coverage. And when they get to a receiver to make a pass breakup or really just even tackle, they're very physical. Even on incompletions, they're there making contact. Has that been a renewed point of focus at all as they come in with high contracts and a lot of money spent in the secondary? Are they bordering on playing it too close, too physical perhaps?
This is, I think it's a really good observation, and especially with Prince, too, who doesn't always come off as the guy who's willing to tackle. Well, he is willing to tackle. We've seen that the last few weeks, that this entire cornerback group is willing to mix it up and contest catches, rake at the ball. They will try to get the ball out if they're the second guy to arrive, but they're also willing to put their shoulder in to a tackle attempt. This has always been the case with Fuller. It's one of the things that the Bears and the previous regime liked about him at Virginia Tech, especially the way the Hokies would line him up almost as a linebacker at times and get him into the run defense. Callahan has always been a willing tackler for his size. You know, he had a concussion his first year because of this. He was just so willing to throw his body around. It might be part of the reason for the durability issues that have dogged him throughout his career. And now that he's healthy, you see him just stacking up these physical, complete performances where he's been a great player for them this year. And I'm with you with Prince. I think part of this is a confidence by these guys to understand what routes they can contest. We'll have to see as they play some better offenses. I mean, look, the Jets and the Bills, those passing games are about as bad as you get in the NFL. The Lions yesterday were a step forward, and they moved the ball a little bit better, but you still saw the Bears' corners contesting throws. As they get to some better competition this week against the Vikings, the Rams are in the offing here, that let's see if teams try to double move them, if they try to take advantage of some of this aggressiveness. But I think overall the cornerback play of this group has been outstanding, and they are really meshing well with the pass rush. They're a complete defense. They're a legit defense, and they're also taking the ball away. There is so much to like about that group.
The thing about the double moving is you have to have time to set up a double move.
Exactly.
And when 52 is coming at your ear hole, it changes the amount of time that a quarterback is going to want a lot to letting you do that.
And that's why Prince and Fuller and Callahan, too, they're really good with situational football. So they will jump third and six at the sticks, you know, a throw or an out cut right at the sticks. You saw Callahan's interception yesterday. Perfect example of that, where he knows he's not getting beat deep on a third and medium, you know, a third and seven type play. So he can jump a route. He knows that the defensive line, that the front, whoever they're rushing, is going to affect the throw. And in that case, the ball came out late, and he was in a great position for it. You know, again, the complimentary defense has been excellent the last 3 weeks.
Rich, thank you. We'll talk again next week, man.
It's going to be a fun week, guys. Enjoy.
Sure is. Rich Campbell.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.